Happy Friday to all of you. This is Omar Serrano with the Tilted Lawyer Podcast. A couple of weeks ago, I did a summary video about the Curious case of Natalia Grace. If you're watching this video, you're familiar with her. You have to be by now. I wanted to see how she's doing after the show. I'm very suspicious of the way the show has treated her entire situation. I'm very suspicious of the way that, I mean, obviously, there's the people that are trying to capitalize on her for financial gain, the Manses and all these other folks. I'm even suspicious now of the new family that tried to take her in and has been presenting themselves as like the saviors of Natalia Grace. She's had many saviors. Good evening, Denise. How you doing, Winks? It's good to see you. I'm not going to go too far into this. This is going to be an update video. What's happened since the documentary? A lot of you guys had questions about $300,000 from Social Security income. Is that accurate? I mean, over the course of 10 years, yeah, about $30,000 a year. It sounds about right. And if she is listing the Manses as the payees, meaning they get to cash all that money, I guess it stands to reason if there's no taxes coming out. And how does that work? I have no idea. The SSI checks that I've ever, that the ones that I've always seen already take out taxes. I don't know the mechanisms by how they were able to get the cash without paying taxes first. I suspect that somebody should be able to clean that up a little bit, or at the very least, in the interest of equity, be able to hold the Manses accountable for debts owed to the IRS on account. Well, we'll talk about that. It's going to be a quick and impactful show. You're going to want to stick around. I got a lot to talk about coming up next.
Whatever you might be going through and wherever you might be, this is Omar Serrano with the Tilted Lawyer Podcast. I'm here to take your mind off of things. Yes, I'm an attorney. No, I'm not giving you legal advice. We're going to sit and talk like people, as these are the candid thoughts of one practicing attorney, and it's after hours. So have a seat. Feel free to have a drink and join me. Let's get started.
How you folks all doing again? It's good to see you, Calamity Jane and Lisa Lapp. I see you all in there. Lisa Lapp saying that each state is different with SSI. And yeah, that's true. My thoughts on it, just my attorney instincts tells me that if it is the case, and it could be proven in court, that the Manses coerced Natalia Grace, a minor, and by the way, her birth date has been legally updated. She is now officially only 21 years old. She is not 30. How old would she be? If she was born in 1989, how old would she be, Dominic? 29 plus 11, that would make her 40 years old. Yeah, she's not 40. She's not 40. She's 21. My attorney instinct tells me that if it can be proven in court, they can bring a petition to absolve Natalia Grace of debt with the IRS, holding the Manses accountable and attaching, if a judgment is rendered, whatever, perhaps the trailer that they used to, where they pilfered her talk show money, $300,000 or whatever it was, where they use that money to buy a trailer, whatever. I think that they should be able to hold them accountable and absolve Natalia Grace of the debts. She was very clearly a minor at the time. She couldn't contract with anybody. And so for somebody to take her money, not pay the taxes, they were making all those decisions, they should be held liable. Maybe I will dive into that in a future video, the legal mechanics of how that would work. It's going to be tricky. It would be tricky, but I can't imagine that if you brought this in a court of law, in the interest of equity, that they would hold Natalia Grace accountable for money stolen by the Manses and force her to pay the taxes on stolen money. Just what I know about the law, that's not going to happen. And so, 35? Are you sure? 25 plus 11 is, you're right. You're right. Hey, lawyers are not supposed to be good at math anyway. No shitting on me on a Friday because my math sucks. I mean, Jesus. Winx was born in 89. Holy shit. Winx is just a youngster. All you Gen Xers, man. Oh, not a Gen X. She's a millennial, aren't you? Did you know that the millennials are considered old now? It happened. It happened. You were alive in the 1900s, and so that makes you officially old. What do you think about millennials, Dominic, being a Gen Z person?
Not much, honestly.
Well, that's fucked up. What a dick. That's right, Winx. You're not as old as I. I'm like on the cusp of Gen X and millennial. I don't know what you would call that. I was literally born in 1980. So make of that what you will. I'm 44 years old. There was an article that came out after the documentary came out, and I'm a little perturbed by some of the details related to Natalia and the things that she's allowed to do and not do. So I've had issues with the production of that documentary that's being currently streamed on HBO Max. It's called The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. And it's been like 3 seasons into it now. The first season focused on her struggles with her initial adopted family. I mean, she went through like a few families, but ultimately she ended up where she ended up and went through a cavalcade of horrors. Having been abandoned in 2009 by herself when she was like about 6 or 7 years old, left to fend for herself as if she was adult. She wasn't going to kindergarten. She wasn't going to first grade like she should have been. She was literally going to an adult school. Many people try to raise the alarms like, hey, this is obviously like a 7-year-old. What are we doing right now? They would call CPS and they called the authorities and they couldn't do shit about it because she was legally re-aged to be born in 1989, which would have put her above an adult. She was still dependent on her adoptive family. They were getting money for that, but then she became this huge albatross, financial albatross. So they basically stuck her in this apartment and effed off to Canada. In so many words, obviously I'm paraphrasing all of that. Season 2 focuses on the Manses rescuing her from one of the 2 apartments that she was abandoned. They take her in, and you're kind of, they're, I don't want to call them religious extremists, but they were certainly very religious, and they made it a point to let you know that this is Bishop Mann. He was a leader in his church, and he was very involved. They went in Dr. Phil with her, and they set themselves up to be her savior. And they conclude season 2 with this monumental moment where Natalia Grace was going to be adopted by the Manns. And she was so happy. And the production quality was, oh, it's a happy ending. And then you get this mysterious phone call. I don't know what Natalia's up to. Natalia's over there tweaking. That's what he said. She's over here tweaking. She only cares about herself. And we're like, what? What just happened? Like, we're all prepared to have, like, this happy ending for this little girl who's clearly undergone severe waves of torture for her entire life. Literally her entire life. And we got this guy who's on about something. We don't know what it was. We kind of got an inkling about what it was. She had a boyfriend in the UK. She wanted to move to the UK. She wanted to get out of the Manses' house. She was sick and tired of their coercive controls of her being basically treating her like a child in their home. She was 19 years old. She had an online boyfriend. She's an adult female. She wants to pursue adult things. I don't know if they saw that and were like, you know what? We can't have this because there goes the money train. We need to shut this down right now. They stole her computer. They stole her laptop. Along with all of the communications and pictures and videos, it was revealed in season 3 of the documentary that part and parcel to some of the things that were stolen would have been sexually explicit images and text messages and photographs, perhaps videos that she would have taken for her online boyfriend who lived in the UK. And the thought was that perhaps because of the way that Natalia was acting, whenever she had an opportunity to expose some of the abusive behaviors that the Manses had exhibited, where other people were speaking out about their abusive practices, physically abusive, mentally controlling, and all these other things, that perhaps she was being held captive and extorted, as in, if you say anything, then we're going to say stuff. To which I would say, bro, or I wouldn't call it bro, Natalia, you're an adult. If stuff gets out there, it's not the, I mean, it's a tough conversation to have. Imagine your sexting messages got out for the world to see, and you were this national curiosity, where this documentary that's been brewing for years now comes out, and you're known as this person, Natalia Grace. Next thing you know, you're on all of these weird ass websites with people with weird fetishes and obsessions, commenting on you in varying states of sexuality. It would be a nightmare for anybody, let alone her, who's known nothing but abuse and people taking advantage of her for her entire life. And so, you know, the Manses are pieces of shit. What could you say? That's my official legal opinion. You could think that Natalia is a grifter. You could think that she's also in on it. Perhaps, maybe. Maybe it was the production quality of the documentary that led us to come to such a conclusion. The very 90s style Jerry Springer presentation of these facts in this very serious legal matter, where we were forced to go through this journey with him. And, you know, we get to the end of it, and maybe it's all a big put on. I don't know. Maybe none of it is true. You never know what's true anymore. I'm just so sick and tired of it. But the documentary, it ends with a relatively happy ending. I hope there's not a season 4. I will not watch a season 4. Maybe I would. But there has been concerning accusations about the family that rescued her. I'll talk a little bit about that. But this article came out. So she goes and she does this whole People magazine shoot. They read an article about her life after life with the Manses. We're going to go through it together. They wrote an article about her victim or villain. Let me share my screen with you all so you could see what I'm looking at. How you doing, S.L. Connolly? My heart goes out to her as well. I have to imagine, she says, she's embarrassed. I couldn't imagine being 19 years old and somebody threatening to show pictures of myself on the internet. I'll tell you what, though. Miguel's going to hate me for saying this, but it was like 3 years ago. And I get this mysterious text. My younger brother, Miguel, he's just gotten married. This is before he met his wife and all. 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. But I get this random text message. It's like, hey, just so you know, if you happen to get a picture of my penis sent to you, just please ignore it. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? And then I press a little bit, and he's been scammed. He was sexting with somebody that was posing to be a young lady. Turns out it was one of these scammers from overseas. And next thing you know, he probably sent a bunch of pictures and it was like, give me $5,000 or I'm going to send this to all of the people on your contacts. And he was terrified. He was like a 30-something-year-old man. How old is he now? 1994. He's 31. He would have been, well, I guess mid-20s. Still. Being Natalia Grace, given that she has some public notoriety, the fact that somebody would threaten her with that, knowing what she's been through, I'd imagine that she was scared. I'd imagine that she was terrified. I'd imagine that it would give her pause for speaking openly about what she was going through with the Manses. Before I go off too far on a tangent, hey, Dominic, if I go off too far, feel free to buzz me, man. I don't know what buzz me means. Just let me know. Just say, hey, what's the North Star for today's show? Natalia Grace. Yes, sir. Right. How you feeling, by the way? So that stuff was legit, no? Yep. It just tastes like shit. All right, this is the article from People magazine. And I will embiggen it for those in the back. It starts off. This is the article that was advertised at the end of season 3 of the Natalia Grace documentary series. It starts off, who are Natalia Grace's new adoptive parents, Antoine and Cynthia Manns, while living in wait, what's the date of this? Is this even the right one? Yeah, 2025. I started off in the middle. My bad. So it starts off, in the May 2023 ID Network docu-series, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace, Michael Barnett shared the story of adopting Natalia Grace Barnett with his then-wife, Christine Barnett, in 2010. Oh, Michael Barnett. You remember him, Dominic? He was the guy that would cry and, like, throw himself on the floor and, like, start pounding on the ground and just very theatrical, very clearly homosexual. And that's not a knock on them. It's just he's clearly a guy that found himself in a marriage where he doesn't appear to be sexually oriented himself. And I don't know what's going to happen to him in the past, but it caused strife in his marriage. And there's probably a lot other stuff going on. There was infidelity on Cynthia's part and just a lot of weirdness in that season. I don't nearly got enough time to go over it all right now. But we visited them in season one. He accused Natalia of attempting to kill his family, lying about her true age in like the most bizarre way, claiming she had pubic hair, claiming that she was trying to murder them with a knife and all of these things and trying to poison Cynthia. We can go back and listen to it. I did other shows on it about a year ago when season two came out, when we did our full-on review of the entire series. Natalia then shared her version of events in a follow-up series called Natalia Speaks in January of 24, literally a year ago. After hearing both sides of the story, fans are confused about what happened to Natalia after she left the Barnett family, and where is she now? Yeah, I would say there's confusion. I have my opinions about what I think happened. I think that that young lady was severely abused by Cynthia. And I think that Michael Barnett was too chicken shit to do anything about it. There was a lot of things going on in his house that he let go on. I think that the things that Cynthia was accused of are true. I think that Cynthia tried to sexualize Natalia. Now, it's quite the leap to say that because she dressed her up and put makeup on her, she's trying to sexualize her. But her affair partner, this little person, literally another little person, gets up on the in the documentary in an interview and literally says that Natalia was offered to him as like some kind of a weird sexual sacrifice to which he claims to have refused. Who on the F knows? I mean, the source of the confusion was such that, look, they were throwing a lot of accusations at Natalia that didn't make a lot of sense. There was a lot of people saying a lot of things about Natalia. But to hear it from her perspective as a 7 or 8 year old that's just trying to be a kid, trying to attach to a family, trying to find a way, a place in the universe after being rejected in her country of origin in the Ukraine by her biological mother, unable to attach to two previous families, being severely abused in a Ukrainian orphanage. Now she gets here. We think it's going to be a happy ending and come to find out that, hey, this family is weird as F. And Christine, I meant, what did I say?
You said Cynthia.
I didn't mean Cynthia. Christine. I'm talking about Christine Barnett. Christine Barnett, not Cynthia Manns. Cynthia Manns got her own issues. Christine Barnett was the one that I thought was sexually abusing her. There's accounts of it, and we could go and rehash all of that. And there, I made previous videos about it, or just go watch season one. Let me continue with this article. So Michael and Christine, a former couple from Indiana with three biological sons, adopted Natalia, a Ukrainian girl, in 2010, believing that she was 6 years old at the time. However, her alleged behavioral issues and mature features on her body led her adoptive parents to believe that she really was an adult living with a form of dwarfism called, I've never been able to pronounce that word, SED, dysplasial whatever this says. I can't pronounce. Give it a shot, Dominic. What does it say? Spondyloepiphyseal dysplasia congenita. That was terrible. I'm sorry, folks. In addition to accusing Natalia of lying about her true age, Michael claimed that she made several threats and attempts to kill him. This little person, this little girl, she's like 2 feet tall. She explained that I literally can't physically raise my arm to stab somebody, if that's what he thought I was doing. They have her on video, and I recall seeing those videos of them basically scolding her. Why did you do this? Why did you? She's being screamed at and just. She had the face of a 6 or 7 year old that was being scolded by her parents, like just completely blank. Like, I can't show any emotion because I'm afraid what to think or say. She was very clearly abused living in that situation. He alleged that Natalia stood over the bed with a knife, attempted to poison Christine's coffee with household cleaner, and pushed Christine into an electric fence. If a 2-foot-tall, 20-pound person tried to push anybody, I can't imagine that it would be all that simple to do that. All right, after 2 years of living in Natalia, Michael and Christine petitioned to have her birth date legally changed from September 4th to September 4th, 1989. Hey, by the way, these tangents for the video for tomorrow, just cut the shit out. Cut the tangents. Keep the video on course for Natalia. If you're here for the live experience, I'm sorry, man. You're going to have to just deal with my tangents. I'm supposed to wrap this video up in like 15 minutes because we're doing flat in about 20. So bear with me, folks. I'm going to get through this. After 2 years of living with Natalia, they re-aged her from her birthday being 2003 to 1989, making her 23 years old in 2012, which we just figured out would make her about 36 years old or 35 right now in 2025. The former spouses rented an Italian apartment in Indiana, left her behind while they moved to Canada. Though Natalia was legally seen as an adult, Michael and Christine faced charges for neglect and of a dependent in September 2019, charges of which, by the way, were dismissed. They were literally, of all the criminal actions that they could have charged him with, and I went through an entire show of what could the Barnetts possibly face legally in terms of criminal charges for what they did in Natalia. And the way that they handled that case was beyond bizarre and heartbreaking because the end result of it was based on a technicality. They charged her with abuse of a minor, but they re-aged her to 1989. Therefore, the statute wouldn't hold. What they charged her with was dismissed. And it was some stupid thing like that. They got lucky, basically. Three counts of neglect and conspiracy to commit neglect of a dependent were dismissed. Meanwhile, the charges against Christine were dropped in 2023 before she went to trial. In the curious case of Natalia Grace, Natalia's speech, which premiered on ID Network on January of 24, the Ukraine native disputed Michael's claims and attempted to set the record straight. So who are Natalia Grace's new adoptive parents, Antoine and Cynthia? We've been talking about them for pretty much the whole show. They presented her as this person. They believed her side of the story, including that she was a minor when the Barnetts abandoned her. Is my screen shared, Dominic? And adopted her into their family. They went on Dr. Phil in 2019, maintained that she never showed any signs of violence toward their family. Natalia lived with Cynthia, Antoine, and their 5 other children in Crawfordsville, Indiana. Now, when you listen to that interview, in light of what we know now, where there are witnesses who witnessed Antoine and Cynthia physically abusing this young girl, Natalia, and it would have occurred before this interview with Dr. Field. It just kind of puts the entire thing in a new, disgusting light. Natalia lived with Cynthia, Antoine, and their 5 other children in Crawfordsville, Indiana. The couple previously advocated for Natalia and her disability, even launching a GoFundMe to raise money for a wheelchair accessible van in June 2023. All the while, as the DePauls had explained, she needs more than a wheelchair. She needs a life-saving back surgery. Otherwise, she might die an early death, medical complications. They explained it all in season 3. She really needed this surgery. Followers of Natalia's story were happy. The orphan. Found the family she was looking for until it was revealed during episode 3 of Natalia Speaks that the Manns had cut ties with her 2 weeks after filming wrapped for the docuseries. The series ended with an alleged phone call that producers received from Antoine and Cynthia where the couple expressed that something wasn't right with Natalia. And I'm quoting the article here. I feel like she's the enemy in the house. And she said to us, we have held her hostage. Made us look like we're the enemy, Antoine said on the other end of the phone line. Meanwhile, his wife added, Natalia is stabbing her family in the back over a complete lie. What in the F was that about? All this because she wanted to have a boyfriend? Because she wanted a boyfriend to visit her boyfriend in the UK? As an adult, no less? It wasn't connecting for me. The logical strands were not there to be connected. Something was amiss. And we spent about a year trying to figure out what that was. The scene didn't reveal what Natalia did to the man's family, but it looks like true crime fans will find out. The series ended with a note on the screen saying Natalia's story will continue. What it turns out is that she just wanted to leave She wanted to take control of her finances, basically, and they didn't like it. That appears to be the source of how, according to them, Natalia Grace was tweaking as Antoine so artfully and God-fearing man would say. Days after the finale, Natalia took to her personal Instagram. And this is what she said. I'm okay and doing well, and thank you for all your support and prayers. She wrote this on January 5th of 24. I wish I could tell you more about the show, but I signed an agreement with the show to keep things confidential for now. I will let you guys know when I can for sure, but just know I'm okay. I love you all. And there's a picture of her looking healthy and happy. You know, and pictures could be deceiving. This is part of her People magazine shoot that they had referenced when she was with the DePauls during her trip to New York. I think she went to Manhattan. Additionally, Natalia seemingly started a GoFundMe to raise money for a new home and surgery amid her estrangement from Antoine and Cynthia. I recently moved out. I'm saving money to get my own house so I can have a personal place of my own. I'm doing this so I can have a fresh start in life as an adult and get past everything that happened in my life. And good luck with that, because she's 21 years old now, 23 years old now. 22 years of that has been spent being taken advantage of and abused in myriad different ways. The fundraiser page continued. I'll likely have to have major spine surgery and even more surgery on my legs. The DePauls had explained, because they had the same condition as Natalia, how important that surgery was for her future physicality, lifespan, potentially. The cost associated with these surgeries are in excess of $500,000 because the specialist does not accept my medical insurance. The first treatment I need is to have my spine corrected, as if I leave it too long, it could lead to paralysis and incontinence. According to GoFundMe, the Ukraine native parents plans to start a business to save up money for the surgery, but any excess funds from the GoFundMe that do not go towards a deposit for her own place will go towards the treatment. She says, to all who have stuck by me through all of this, I cannot thank you enough. I love you all. Page concludes. Shortly after, she gives an update on her Instagram account, telling followers that things in her life were hard, but that she had to keep going. The post was accompanied by a selfie, and fans left encouraging notes for the Ukraine native. If I scroll into there, am I going to... What is this pop-up? Oh, yeah, I don't want it to... never mind. Where did I leave off? Oh, was that there? Was that her... Oh, it kicked me out. It took me to this different thing. Okay, so where do things stand between Natalia and the man's? The man's family never specifically revealed what really went down between them and Natalia, but others spoke to what really went down, and it wasn't pretty. Cynthia offered an update amid the fallout of Natalia Grace. Natalia Speaks, taking a TikTok live in January of 24. Cynthia said that Natalia is still part of the family, countering the schism that was featured at the end of the series. Her update came shortly after telling the U.S. Sun that while Natalia was not living with the man's family anymore, everything between them was absolutely perfect. And no, it isn't. And no, it wasn't. The man stole a lot of money from Natalia. And the way that they left things, it appears that they're trying to let her fend for herself with respect to monies that would have been owed for her receiving SSI benefits in excess of $300,000 and any other money that she would have probably received as part of her speaking appearances on Dr. Phil, maybe this documentary. I would really like somebody to do an accounting of where that money went. Because to the extent that the Manzas, or the DePauls for that matter, or anybody, tried to pilfer her money that could have led to life-saving surgery, I would really love it to know, at least know, that they are going after them to prosecute her so that that money could make its way rightfully to Natalia to benefit her in her life, to help give her a fresh start and start things anew. So she says things are perfect. That's what she says. The truth about what happened between Natalia and the Manzas was revealed in the documentary, The Final Chapter, which premiered January 25. Natalia claimed she was held hostage by Cynthia and Antoine, who allegedly kept her isolated from the world when they discovered that they had a boyfriend named Neil in the UK, whom she met online. They took her phone and internet access. Neil became concerned for Natalia's safety, tracked down Nicole and Vince DePaul, and they go, I'm not going to read this part. They're just rehashing, basically. This is the part I'm interested in. They're rehashing when the DePauls went to go save Natalia from a church service. It was like a midweek service, and they made a big to-do about it at the end of episode one and the beginning of episode two. They basically, well, they didn't kidnap her, but they basically scooped her up and made a getaway. And a lot of the drama that unfolded in season three of the documentary was based off of that. So where is she today? Nicole refused to give up on Natalia, continued to fight Cynthia and Antoine over her finances, necessary medical procedures, and more. As seen in the final chapter, Natalia ultimately agreed to cut off communication with Cynthia and Antoine, and Nicole promised she would help her get her money back. So Natalia has lived with Vince, Nicole, and their daughter, Mackenzie, since she left the Manzas. She told People in an interview ahead of the final chapter's release that she's studying for her GED. Good for her. Learning to drive, hopes to become a teacher someday. That's a perfect occupation for somebody like Natalia. I could see her doing that, like a kindergarten teacher or something, first grade teacher, elementary school. I don't know. But good on her for getting her GED. She says, it's been a big learning curve for me. For the most part, I've made peace. It's definitely a blessing to be alive today. There's nothing I can do to change the past. I'm a girl who loves kids and wants to get married and have children. But one of my biggest things is not making promises I can't keep. I've had too many promises that have been broken. I'm just ready to move on. I can imagine. They comment about how old she is. So her true age was widely debated for years. During Michael's trial, Natalia's biological mother, Anna Gava, insisted that she was born in 2003. Said right there on her birth certificate. Cynthia and Antoine celebrated Natalia's 20th birthday in September of 23. Her age was confirmed through a DNA test during episode one of Natalia Speaks, True Diagnostic, a medical lab that specializes in biological aging based on DNA methylation, basically taking DNA benchmarks to see where what your DNA says that you should be, what your age basically is. They took a blood sample from Natalia and learned that she was somewhere close to 22 years old as of August of 23, which tracks. This meant Natalia was a young child when the Barnetts adopted her in 2010. It also means that when they abandoned her in that apartment, she was a young child, left and forced to take care of herself, bathe herself, feed herself, cook for herself, and all those other things. The article continues. This one little piece of paper throws every single lie that the Barnetts have said right into the trash with a match. This is so big because literally this has been 13 years of just two people lying their butts off. They ruined a kid's life. They painted me as some big monster when in reality, they were the ones. So where we stand with Natalia right now is, she's trying to make her way. She's trying to, she has her GoFundMe. She's trying to get her corrective surgery. She's trying to purchase a house or buy a house or get her own place. She wants to live her life. She's been through a lot. And I got to say, I'm skeptical of the producers of that documentary. Obviously got reason to be skeptical of the Manzas, but I'm also looking at the DePaul sideways. Like, what are they profiting off of this? Why are they so hell-bent on being involved with this documentary? They made a big stink about how much it cost to take care of Natalia when she started living with her when they made their big escape from the Manzas. I wonder. I hope that Natalia is not being taken advantage of financially by the DePauls. Do I know that for sure? No. I don't want to see a season four come to find out that DePauls pilfered Natalia's documentary money and used it to purchase, I don't know, a vacation property in Italy or something. So that's where we're at with Natalia right now. I did a couple of weeks ago, rundown of the entire season three. About a year ago when season two came out, I did a rundown of seasons one and two. You guys are going to want to take a look at those episodes if you want to learn more about that case, my thoughts about the legal processes, why the Barnetts escaped criminal prosecution, and perhaps civil liability. I had opined about what would Natalia's remedies be against the Barnetts going forward. And sadly, you can see my entire analysis, it was not looking too good. The man's is a little bit different. She has clearly, if she's been defrauded and stuck with a large IRS bill, she will surely have remedy against them. And so I'm optimistic for her. It's been a long journey of learning about her story and seeing how she's evolved through this entire process. I can tell you that it's almost like we've seen her grow up on camera through home videos and all this other stuff. She looks like an adult now. When they were trying to re-age her back then, she was very clearly to me a kid. But it was like cognitive dissonance. Like I could, you're telling me that she was born in 1989. I'm looking at her face that's very clearly a six-year-old. And so, you know, I did that on the other show. That's all for today's update. In about 5 minutes, I'm going to be doing an episode of FLAD. Hey, Dominic, could you filter everybody from here to there if you haven't done that already? Folks, join us for some Family Law After Dark. We're going to have Bruce and Brad, a couple of other guests. I think Jennifer Bradley's going to come back on, a brand new recipient of the new creator of the official FLAD thumbnail. It was amazing. It was way better than the one that I could have done. So she's going to be on. Melissa's going to be here in person and in studio, and we're all going to talk shit about Dominic. It's going to be a good time. So I hope to have you guys all there. I love you all. I will see you all in about 4 minutes on Family Law After Dark. I love you all. If I don't see you then or there, have a wonderful weekend and be safe out there. Bye-bye.